afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rocksolid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
Hell yeah, you are. And I'm Gary Lucy.
Hell yes to the G.
Nailed it.
All right, that's pretty good.
That was smooth as silk.
It's not bad.
That's the best we've ever done that.
Best ever. 48 Wait, episodes in.
Let's start over. Happy June, everybody.
Yeah, June's here. June gloom. I got June gloom, Gary.
Oh, that's summer. It's right around the corner. You seem like you might be a little bit sniffly. Are you?
I am very sniffly. My kids had dry cough, and now they're better. And hey, old man's got it.
Now, do you think it's a cold? Like, because I'm always worried that, like, oh, I'm feeling kind of coldish, but then I think, oh, what about it? Maybe it's allergies.
I think it's a combination allergy. And I think it's both, actually. Got all mixed up in my schnizzle.
Well, here's my other dilemma is I take this other medication. For
L-Dopa?
It's kind of an L-Dopa. It's going to kind of keep me on the level mentally. But then I'll take a Claritin.
Okay.
For allergies, and they interact, and it leaves me in a state of priapism, constant boner.
Huh.
Claritin.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So
you're making like bathhouse Viagra,
yeah, exactly.
Or bathhouse, but bathtub, I guess.
Exactly.
Bathhouse Viagra. Listen is to a me right totally now. Different thing.
Different thing.
Listen to me right now. I'm gonna go Breaking Bad on you. You want a cookie-o? I say you. The three of us. We get a
Winnebago.
Get a Winnebago.
Head out to the desert.
Head out. And we'll just head up to Chatsworth. Say, okay. The further we'll go, and we'll cook some of this street legal Viagra.
Shake and bake. So I've switched to Dayquil. But
I find
what's that? That gives you a limp dick.
Claritin doesn't really work for me.
Doesn't work for me either.
And they say it's not drowsy, but it is. It makes me drowsy and not feel better.
Being 48 years old makes me drowsy.
We know how to rock.
I take a baby aspirin. I'm drowsy.
You're out.
So man, we lost Donna Summer.
Yeah.
We lost Donna Summer.
What a shame. She was brilliant. She was a genius. She was like...
You can't hear Last Dance and without tapping your foot.
No, it's so great. And just like... just a visionary. You know, Brian Eno, his own self, he ran in, they were working on that album with Bowie in Berlin. There was I've heard the future of music. This is what it's going to be. And it was Love to Love You, Baby. Like,
wow, yeah.
We shouldn't even bother. This is it.
It's done.
It's done.
And Springsteen wrote a song for her called Protection.
Oh, right.
He actually covered me from his Born in the USA album. He gave that to her, and then he took it back, and he goes, I got to take this back. Don't you do my impression. I got two impressions.
Indian givers.
So I got to... I didn't even plan on doing this impression tonight. I'm just going to tell a story about young Donna Summer, who works really hard for the money. No, but anyway, so he took Cover Me back from her, and then he wrote her a song called Protection. And check it out on YouTube. It's a great, great tune.
But she did all kinds of
music. She did.
Like, she had like a she was in rock and she was in like a Broadway sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so like she's she made country. She
always loved her hair too. I loved that big Donna Summer hair.
Nice.
She was sexy.
Heaven knows.
I know. That's sad. It's so weird too when you don't even know someone's sick.
Yeah.
And then they're like when Barry Gibb died, we had known for a couple of weeks. He was in a coma. He was in and out. And then he died. But Donna Summer was just like, boom. Oh, really?
Right. Was it Robin? Or is Barry?
Robin.
It was Robin. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. Barry Gibb's dead. Oh, no.
No, Barry's
They're
the
all
only
dropping like flies.
Barry's the only one alive.
But and there was kind of some conspiracy afoot with Donna Summer, right? She was saying like she may have got cancer from 9/11.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that at all.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So maybe we could address that in that project you were talking about.
I will check. I'll go to the source. I'll check out TMZ.
Okay. That'll straight. The guy who founded TMZ died today.
What?
What? Harvey?
Not a Harvey, but
who covered it?
The Telepictures executive whose name is escaping me right now. But
never mind. If it's not that Harvey guy, then I can't be excited about it.
Well, Harvey died inside years ago.
Yeah, he did. TMZ.
But and then Doc Watson died today, the great blind folk guitarist.
Yeah, and Duck Dunn.
Duck Dunn.
He just died in his sleep. He was on tour.
this is how it's going to be from it's just going to they're just going to keep coming.
That's what I keep looking at
closer
all the
closer together.
All the autographed albums on my wall. I keep looking at them. I'm like, you know, someday hopefully I live to see it, but all these people are going to be done. But which I guess is a good springboard into our topic today.
Yes.
Today we're doing I don't even know if I can say the word, Gary.
Say it.
I don't know how to say it.
Give it a go.
Is it posthumous?
Yeah, it's pronounced pasta duchy.
It's posthumous. And posthumous. Today we're going to listen to songs by artists who died, but the songs were released after they died.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing today.
Oh, I thought this was going to be songs by that one guy from...
De La Soul.
De La Soul.
No. That's our posthumous.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
That's another day we'll do that. but like last week's show was 347, and there was so many to pick from. And this time... Not that many to pick from, but I think I picked some good ones. You
I think
probably
I picked
did too.
Some good ones too. And
there's a lot of dead people, Pat.
There's a lot.
Yeah,
of
but
dead
yeah,
people.
There's a lot of dead people, but music that they recorded before they died that was released after.
Oh, I wasn't I mean? Listening to you. Yeah, I get it now.
Like Michael Jackson's dead, but we can't play Michael Jackson unless there was actually music that came out after he died.
Well, there was, but it's pretty much stinks.
Okay.
And there was a lot of talk of maybe there was a sound alike used on some of those recordings.
You got to figure Michael Jackson. There's got to be tons of stuff in the vaults that they could.
Yeah, but I think it's just little bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. It's not like fully formed songs even.
Like, for example, when Springsteen dies, there's going to be like, he's going to be like Tupac because he has so many songs that he records and then just says, nah, it's not good for this album. So.
Right, right.
Do you think he'll have a thing in his will that says like, don't touch my stuff?
For a certain number of years.
Maybe.
Because, like, he's put out plenty. That's one guy where he doesn't need... We don't need those things to come out, really.
Right.
I mean, I know some people would want to hear it.
Well, he released a box set that was basically... The whole thing was unreleased stuff. They were just songs that he didn't feel fit in with the theme of whatever album he was recording. And it is... it's, like, 70% great. It's like, wow, this is like getting 9 albums at one time.
An embarrassment of riches.
Almost too much music at one time.
Too much.
So
how many discs was that?
How many discs
was
that?
It was only 4.
How many?
1, 2, 3, 4. Your own fucking joke.
It was only 4. I don't know what you're talking about.
He's distancing himself.
I actually wanted to put... No. Okay. So, Gary, I'm going to let you start.
Okay. This is one that I think symbolizes this whole endeavor from 1980. This band was on the brink of their first American tour.
Mm-hmm.
They were. It was their second album was about to drop. And the lead singer... Depressed, bad marriage, suffered from epilepsy.
Uh-oh.
And he was having harder and harder time like controlling like his fits, and he would have fits on stage, and which would make him more depressed. Anyway, so they finished recording this, and he hung himself before the tour could happen, and it somehow it seemed like it couldn't have ended any other way for this guy because they were just so kind of like a gloomy group. But this song is just a masterpiece. And it is by Joy Division, and it is called Love Will Tear Us Apart. Ian Curtis, it was about this time in 1980, late May, early June.
And that song came out after he died.
Yeah, they came out in July.
Have you seen the movie, the Anton, how do you say his name, Corbin movie called Control?
I have not seen that.
It's about the life of Ian Curtis.
I saw the 24-hour party people, which kind of deals with this, kind of more the scene, but it's like a
no, this is actually about him. Yeah, a guy plays him, Samantha Morton's in it. Yeah, it's a pretty cool little movie. I actually saw it.
I got to see that damn movie.
Yeah.
Thanks
Control
for the tip.
From 2007.
Thanks for the tip, Pat.
Okay, so When did this guy die? I got to look up what year he died. Oh, he's not dead. No.
Well, he will be.
This guy died in 2001 at the... Wow, I didn't know he was that age, because that's just a year older than I am now. So, people, we got another year of this left.
You didn't smoke your entire life.
Joey Ramone died in 2001 at the age of 49. And in 2002, they released a posthumous album that he had been working on called Don't Worry About Me. And the song is called Stop Thinking About It. Joey Ramone.
Obsessing, don't you know what this is? Yeah, you don't know what you want yeah.
Now, Gary.
Yes.
Let me tell you something.
Yes.
Last week.
Yes.
The second posthumous Joey Ramone album came out.
That's right.
It's called You Know.
Yes.
And here's a song from that.
Let's hear it.
This is a twofer from Dead People. This is called Going Nowhere Fast.
Hanging out with that sleazy crib. Hey, yo, going nowhere, baby. Gonna bring you down. You better listen to what I'm saying.
Now, you would think after one posthumous album that there wouldn't be anything left, but right. there are 15 songs on You Know, and it's a great album.
That sounded very good.
I was so excited to get it. It was really a nice surprise, because I didn't know it was coming out until like the week before that. And I was like, what the? Are you kidding me?
I was going to say that's a good example of the two kinds of posthumous albums. There's the kind like, oh, it was either done or it was almost done.
Right.
And then he died, and then we put it out anyway. And then there's like the, well, let's just sweep up whatever's left and like
cobble it together and see what happens. And it works. It works on You Know. It's a very good album.
That's very good. And so who like put that together?
Just his brother. Who else is on it? Steve Van Zandt's on it. Bunny Carlos is on it. A lot of people are great musicians are on it. Joan Jett's on it.
Sounds like it's worth checking out.
It is. It definitely is. I recommend it.
This is another guy who kind of has like two posthumous releases, like one from each column, one that was on the way to being done and one that was just kind of like they found some stuff. And this is from the Found Some Stuff one. It's Elliot Smith. Such a weird thing about the way he died. Ruled a suicide, but like literally stabbed himself in the heart, which isn't like, you know, like you
it's
would
not the easiest
pick.
Way to do it. Yeah.
And he had been talking to this this engineer about like finishing up like, you know, this album. Hey, yeah, come down next week. You know, so if you make an appointment with somebody, like obviously you're, you know, if you have plans for the future.
Right.
You're like, you know, I'm going to be dead by then. That's not going to be good. We're going to, you know, like it wasn't like one of those things. But this is from the second one, which it took me a while to get into. And then, you know, just out of sadness. But then I was thinking like, oh, there's some good tunes on here. This is it's called New Moon. And the song is called Whatever, Folk Song and Sea. And there's some nice finger picking on here. Listen to this. It's called Introduction to Elliot Smith. If you ever want to get into his music, they came out a couple years ago. That kind of spans his whole thing.
And do you happen to know how old he was when he died?
He was 30. 21-ish, I think. Most of my people, I was thinking it was like 25 or 26.
Wow, it's crazy.
Yeah, but he was a little bit older, but not too much older, I don't think. I should double check on that.
Wow.
But
Man, this show's a bummer.
This is a big bummer. But it's also a celebration.
It is a celebration. Yeah. And
he was 34.
34. Okay.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
So this next person died at younger than 34. Clear my schmokus. That's good broadcasting. This is I just say one her first name and you know who it is. Janice.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And she died in October of 70. And then in January 71, the album Pearl was released that included her only number one hit. And this is it, Me and Bobby McGee.
Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. That's all that Bobby left me. When it feeling good was easy down when he sang the blues. Hey, feeling good was good enough for me. Mm-hmm. Good enough for me and my Bobby McGee.
And another thing people might not know about Janis Joplin, died of natural causes.
What?
I wish there was a meter that I could find out. You know, she's 27.
Yeah.
I've lived 21 years longer than her.
Right.
But have I lived more life in my 48 than she did in her 27?
Interesting. She packed it in.
Could we meter it up? I mean, how would you measure that?
That's for sure. It's the artistic temperament. You know, she suffered and she got it out there. It's that's a particularly sad one because like that was such like a that was like a big leap forward for her.
That yeah, was just Pearl. Like, that was just, the album Pearl. I know. It's
she kind of cut loose those Big Brother guys and was like kind of mm-hmm. and just yeah, really great. And two movies that they always talk about being in pre-production hell is the Janis Joplin.
I know.
Biopic, but it seems like it's on again with her whose name shall not be spoken.
Who is it?
ZD.
Oh, she's adorkable.
But could you imagine anything worse?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I remember I remember way back it was what was the actress? Lily Taylor? Tyler. It was her, and then it was going to be Pink.
Right.
It was going to be Melissa Etheridge at one time, and I think she's too old. She was too old at the time to play her. So yeah, it's just.
Pink, that would be good.
Does it have to be someone who, I mean, no one can sing like Janis Joplin, so like, fucking don't worry about the singing part of it. Just get someone who can, like.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't
or
know.
Or get Jamie Foxx. He's good.
Yeah.
He can do anything.
But the other movie like that, Confederacy of Dunsons.
That's on now.
And that's on again, yeah.
Terry Gilliam and Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah. Oh, is it Gilliam who's going to direct it now?
Yeah, how about that? Wow. That would be good. Now as music guys, I think we agree that like what makes me so sad is because like to us, rock stardom is like the highest point attainable for a human being. You
yes.
know what I mean? It seems like the best kind of life you could ever possibly have.
Actors want to be rock stars.
Yes. So to
sports
like,
figures want to be rock stars.
To have like missed out on that seems like extra double sad.
Yeah.
And this is a case like that because this is a guy who had a hard life, paid his dues, great artist. And just missed it by that much. His name is Brad Noel, and he was
don't know who this is.
Leader of this group called Sublime that I think you know.
Okay, I know who's Sublime.
Couple of like you know independent albums, built a great fan base. They were just like they're this interesting sound, kind of like this you know ska rock thing. But it was like this window into this world that we this seedy world that we didn't really know with like some real like. So much detail that like this guy lives this shit. This isn't just someone like sometimes with like gangster rappers. I'm like you just saw that in Scarface or something, you know. But this guy lived it. And their third album, their breakthrough album, was supposed to be called Killing It, but they changed the name. Of
yes,
it because he died like about a month before it came out, and it was huge. Sold like 6 million copies or something like that. But we're gonna hear a song called Wrong Way on Rock Solid from Sublime.
12 years old and tomorrow she'll be a whore. Nobody ever told her it's the wrong way. Don't be afraid with the quickness you get laid. For your family get paid, it's the wrong way. I give her all that I have to give. I'm gonna make it hard to live. Soggy tears running down to her chin and it ruins up her makeup and never warned me. A cigarette pressed between her lips, but I'm staring at her tits. It's the wrong way. Strong if I can, but I am only a man, so I take her to the can. It's the wrong way. The only family that she's ever
right. Believe me, shit was tight. It was the wrong way.
That's such a fascinating song, because it's like, it's this tension between, like, he wants to rescue this teen prostitute at this, but at the same time he's like really attracted to her, and he just can't figure it out. It's like,
yeah,
it's
crazy. The heroic moment of the song is when he takes her to the bathroom and fucks her.
I know this is wrong, but I'm gonna put a pin in that for now.
Just, yeah. If you live in LA, I've lived in LA since 1996, which is, I think, was when the song came out. I remember it vividly because K Rock played it around the clock. In the couple of months leading up to his death, they were on it. And they haven't let go of it ever since then. I swear to God, if you turn on K-Rock, in the last 16 or whatever, how many years it's been.
Probably played today.
It's they play this song. They play every song from that album. It's unbelievable.
Did they sing That's What I Got?
What I Got, yeah. Santeria. Or Diarrhea, as a Weird Al.
And then Kevin Smith kind of broke them in a weird way. Like, he put that one song on a soundtrack, I think, before this album. It was on, I think it was the Mallrats soundtrack. What the fuck is that song? It's something about pot. It's like some pothead song.
I think you're maybe right.
Yeah, but anyway. It's a love-hate thing, because I thought they were brilliant when I first heard them, but they got overplayed that I can't fucking handle it
for
anymore.
For sure. Yeah. Well, you know, they had to go and die. You could have put out a new record, but new. But new.
Hey, we're talking about biopics. This is another guy where the biopic wheel is always spinning around, and it's the Big O, Roy Orbison.
Oh.
And you know what? I did not.
Say Oscar Robinson?
Not Oscar Robinson. Roy Orbison.
Oh, okay.
Other Big O.
The Big O. This orgasm. I didn't do my research enough, because I think I just, I didn't know that his big album with You Got It.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was released after he died.
Isn't that wild? Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know. And that's why I just thought, oh, yeah, that was. And then, so I took a song off the other posthumous album. But anyway, he was nominated for Best Pop Male Vocal posthumously for You Got It and doesn't win.
That's insane.
That's a bite in the ass.
Do you remember what won that year?
I don't. But all I know is he didn't win. And now this is weird, too, because I'm looking. How old do you think Roy Orbison was when he died? I would have said, in his 60s.
Yeah. I would have thought.
It looked like some rough
70.
Miles on there.
52.
That's it?
52.
Oh my God. He looked like hell.
I know. It's crazy. Well,
maybe it's because he was wearing my grandfather's glasses his whole life.
It's just crazy. But so I took a song, because I thought he only had one posthumous album. So I took a song off of King of Hearts, which was released in 1992, 4 years after his death, and this is a song called I Drove All Night.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
I had to escape, the city was sticky and cruel. Maybe I should have called you first, but I was dying to get to you. I was dreaming while I drove the long straight road ahead. Could taste your sweet kisses, your arms open wide.
So, the album I was, the other posthumous release, the big one was Mystery Girl.
Mystery Girl.
Yeah, that was a great album.
That Drove All Night had a creepy video, as I recall.
It was like him on like a rotoscope TV and
then there was some breaking and entering going on, I think. Nick Stahl or somebody like that.
And that was a Cyndi Lauper song.
Cyndi Lauper recorded that first, but I don't think she wrote that. I think Kelly,
my sources say that it was
Kelly and Steinberg.
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't Celine Dion have a hit or something?
And she covered it too in 2003.
And John Waite also has covered it. It's like one of those, we need another song.
Everybody takes a turn. It's like, it's like that girl in the
line. Oh, that poor girl.
Let's talk about the guy who's kind of like the king of posthumous releases, probably, Tupac.
Oh, I named him. Name checked him. Sorry.
That's okay. No one's had more probably than him. Just like he's like like the Who have had like way more greatest hits albums than like, yeah. actual albums, but I think he might have more posthumous releases now.
Wow.
Actual releases. That's I'm not
definitely
sure.
Definitely possible. Yeah. I think you're right, yeah.
Check that out. But this is probably one of
he
the...
He also is maybe the only guy who's ever had a hologram of himself performed live.
So far.
When are we going to have him on the show?
He's going
to... He's got to come on the show.
His hologram's going to be on. Well, you heard Queen's going to do that, right? With
Freddie?
Yeah, at there's some musical, We Will Rock You, I think it's called. They have a jukebox musical, and they're going to, like, it's coming up on its 10th anniversary, and they're going to do it. Seems a little distasteful.
I mean, I would rather have them just have Adam Lambert come and sing and pay tribute. No, seriously, yeah. and pay tribute to yeah, Freddie exactly. than to have, you know, a Freddie.
Anything to hear Adam
Well, at this
Lambert.
Point, they need to have a holograph of John Deacon, too, because he doesn't want to play with them anymore. No, he's really? Alive. Uh-huh. He just doesn't want to play with them anymore.
Maybe they get Bill Ward.
to drum?
Yeah, I don't know.
How about just a whole holograph concert of Queen? Wait, that's what DVDs are for. Okay, I can just watch a DVD of their shows.
It's first of all, it's a hologram, not a holograph. Holograph would be
wait a minute.
That would be the machine that plays the holograms, I think. But
what's a dictaphone?
I feel like it only kind of worked with Tupac because he was already sort of a video game character in life. So like when they CGI created him on stage, it was like, yeah, this feels right. This seems about right.
I always pick Tupac when Mortal Kombat.
Oh my God. It's almost like when you saw that hologram, you go, wait, this is a character from Grand Theft Auto 1, isn't
basically,
it?
Basically, yeah. I mean, they not far off, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas is kind of like based on Tupac's life. But yeah, Freddy, like that doesn't, I don't want to see CG yeah. Freddy.
And right now they do not have a holographic machine big enough to do a Biggie Smalls hologram.
So
They're working on it.
That's going to be like the Death Star. Like they need to like.
The Death Star. So we're going to hear some Tupac.
Oh, yeah, check this out. This is one of the bigger ones.
You must have had like thousands of songs to choose from.
Thousands to choose from, but I picked this one because I thought you might enjoy the sample it's based on.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, if you haven't heard this, you will get a kick out of the sample.
All right.
They like took the original and were like, can we make that piano sound less like a real instrument?
Yeah. Was that Bruce Hornsby in the range?
Yeah. It's life worth living, should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, kill a nigga, he's a hero. Get it back to the kids who the hell care. One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship them, don't let them deal with brothers. Give them guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brother, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how it's supposed to be. How can the devil take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids, but then it changed. That's the way it is. Come on, come on. That's just the way it is.
Just the way it is, Pat.
How much music did he lay down at one time?
He fucking recorded shit from prison, like on a phone, I think. Like, that's
crazy.
How crazy he was.
And he toured with Bruce Hornsby in the Range once, right?
Oh, sure. Oh,
that's a good double bill. Yeah. You get a race riot starts in that show.
Could you imagine?
That's ridiculous.
Anyway, so pouring some out of the big gulp here.
Well, I'm going to go right in from I'm going to go another a brother from another mother.
Mm Mhm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is a song by Thin Lizzy. Phil, I don't know if it's Lino or Lynott.
I would say Lynott.
Phil Lynott died in 1986. And then in 1991, they released a single disc greatest hits. And the original drummer and guitarist went back in and finished this song called Dedication. This is Thin Lizzy.
She spends my dedication. This is dedicated to the millions that are starving from hunger and dedication. Dedication. Dedication.
And
he dedicated it to himself. How
I know,
did you know that was going to happen.
I have a feeling there must not be any stuff from him anywhere, because nothing's ever come out but this one song.
That's true.
So he must be like, because I've seen Billy Joel interviewed many times, and people go, "Hey, when are we going to get some unreleased stuff?" He goes, "I would write 10 songs, and we would record 10 songs, maybe 11." He said, "There's nothing. You've got it all."
Wow.
So maybe that's how it was with Phil Lynott and Thin Lizzy. That's it, and that's good too. But
that's weird how that works. Yeah, I think I'm definitely from that school. I think I'm from the Billy Joel school.
Yeah. Just here's what I wrote. Let's do it. We're done. All right. Your turn. Go ahead.
I have a Tupac update.
Oh,
quickly.
Yes.
Oh, is he on tour? Is this tour date?
Tupac has been shot. He recorded six studio albums, released six studio albums while living, and eight have been released since his death.
Nice.
Well, look, if that song that you played, if you like that kind of music, that sounded pretty good. So if it was
That's one of the good ones. He's made so much bad music. Even when he was alive, he made a lot of bad music. He was not a consistent artist, but that's one of the good ones.
Everyone has a clunker in their can, and that might be a show sometime. We'll do Clunker in the Can.
Clunkers in the Can.
Clunkers in the Can. We'll play a song by groups we like, but we don't like this song.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Right. Okay. Clunkers in the Can.
And that's like, and I think, yeah, he got kind of beatified or sanctified or whatever, yeah, from his death, like almost people excused all the missteps he might have made artistically before then. So it's like it almost becomes like a death is like a career move, in
right?
A way,
yeah,
where it's just like
it did feel like it for him because it seemed like he was trying to get killed. So like I think he might have even been I'm not even joking. I think he might have been a little suicidal because like he kept putting himself in situations like he got shot a lot before he died, and it was like what the fuck is going on, dude? Like what you must realize if you want to live, you need to do something differently. But he just couldn't avoid the bullets. I don't know what was going on.
He was alive, he auditioned to be on Fear Factor like 10 times. He had a death wish.
Come on, man. I want to be
he ran some black ops CIA things. Really crazy. Weird. Like
he would eat
and still shirtless. That's the weird part. He would like do these missions without a shirt on.
Actually, his last tattoo he got was of a bullseye right on his heart.
Yeah.
This is suspicious. This seafood buffet's been out all day in the sun. I'm going to throw it away. Yo, man, let me get some of that shrimp. Two packs. Sure.
Are you sure? Sure, I want it.
Death wish. This is a guy who's kind of falls in that category. He's kind of like being dead is one of the things he's famous for because he only had a small output. And this is from his second posthumous release called Grievous Angel. It's Graham Parsons doing Love Hurts with Emmylou Harris.
This is another song that gets covered a ton.
A ton.
Why is it so quiet? These people are dead. Is it going to get louder?
I
hear dead people. Watch your cans because it's...
Go. Here we go.
Love scars. Love wounds. And marks any heart. Not tough. Nor strong.
Do you know who had the original of that?
I'm not sure.
1960, written by the great Boudlow Bryant for the Everly Brothers.
Okay, that makes sense.
Everly Brothers hits, but that's nice. Huh?
Graham Parsons, was he overdosed in Joshua Tree? Was that
that's
his?
The guy. Yeah, there's like a little like fan monument, kind of like Jim Morrison's thing out there, two of them that you could visit.
Cool.
And he was... I think people give him a lot of credit for potential, like what it might have been, obviously he has some good stuff.
Flying Burrito Brothers, is that
sure? That's
like one of my father-in-law's favorite.
Oh, really?
Groups. Yeah, he's always waxing on about.
Well, now
he sounds like
now you can actually bond with him for a change. Yeah, hey, we talked
Hello,
about
Phil.
That.
What's his name?
Jerry. Of course.
Well, you brought up Jim Morrison, so I'm going to play the only posthumous song to come out in 40 years. It was just released last year on the LA Woman 40th anniversary edition of that album. It's called She Smells So Nice, and it has a very, it sounds like a demo, but here it is. She Smells So Nice. It's one of those songs that they literally didn't remember and didn't know that existed. But when they pulled out all the original masters to re-release this album, they were like, "What is this? Oh yeah, I remember that." So they threw it on there for fun.
Originally supposed to be for a commercial for Jeanette After Bad. Like, oh, we forgot we did that.
Oh,
sold out.
The weird thing about that is that could literally be anybody singing that. That doesn't even sound like Jim Morrison.
That kind of sounds like Jim Morrison.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Or is it Val Kilmer?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. I feel like that was actually recorded for the film.
But he, how old would he be now? He's born in 43, so let's do the math.
Oh, he's my mom's age.
So how old's your mom?
69, my brother.
69. He'd be looking your mom up. I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
Go ahead, Jerry. Go ahead, Jerry. Okay. Jerry Lucy.
All right. Well, as Matt's brother-in-law, father-in-law, I think it is incumbent on me to mention the Minutemen. Because I know they have a lot of fans on our boards. This album, I think it came out the same week that he died, and I think he might have died technically after, but it was just right around.
Sorry, Garrett, can't play it.
Can't play it. Sorry.
Move on.
Sorry,
you've been eliminated from the race.
It was so close. Like, what do you mean? Like, oh no, you mean the Minutemen have a new album? No, I mean D. Boone died. He was they were wow. touring. They're constantly touring in their van, and it was like
touring killed him.
Touring killed him, like, yeah, it was an accident, and he died, and he had a song in there about not being afraid to die, strangely enough, but I thought that instead I would we would hear something from the album Three Way Tie for Last, which is a great title. This is their cover of Creed's Clearwater. Thought you might enjoy this.
Okay, great. Oh, I like that drum sound.
Someone told me long ago, there's a calm before the storm. I know it's been coming for some time. When it's over, so they say, it'll rain a sunny day. I know.
Kind of nice, yeah. Just huge output, and a lot of it kind of sloppy, hit and miss. But just making up their own thing, just like amazing, amazing group. Yeah,
yeah, that sounded good.
Minutemen, Mike Watt on bass there. Mike Watt, who also played bass on "Since You've Been Gone." Have we talked about that? About my great karaoke adventure last week.
Are you talking "Since You've Been Gone" by Rainbow?
No, the Kelly Clarkson one.
Since you've been gone.
Anyway,
this is okay. Next person on my list. This is another 27 is the age.
Yeah,
Janis.
Yeah,
Jimi Hendrix.
Sure, mm-hmm.
Jim Morrison.
Kurt
Cobain, yeah. And this next artist,
and Jesus Christ.
Really?
I think.
No, he was 33. Brian.
I did not like his music.
He was good. I like the
plus,
early
one time I saw him performing in the back of a temple, and he upset some carts and caused a big scene. The show ended early.
Brian Jones from this.
That's
what I think of. Jesus Christ, Brian Jones.
And Amy Winehouse.
Right.
So this is you know what? I don't know if Amy Winehouse, and we'll never know if she was really talented, or was it a one trick pony or what. But
she was awesome. Anyway, go ahead.
I know,
she was talented, but yeah. Like as a
but
singer,
you know what I mean.
Saying,
but you'll never know what was the potential,
exactly,
what would the output be? Because.
Yeah.
But anyway, I found this. This came off a 2011 release called Lioness Hidden Treasures. And this is her version of Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow. And this sounds fantastic.
Tonight you're mine completely.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Some of the least surprising news ever, huh, when you heard that.
I don't know what do you do if someone like that is in your life?
Life,
you know, if you're
her,
a parent, if you're a brother, a sister, a cousin, what do you do?
It's there's nothing you can do. It's just the way it goes.
That's rough.
It's so sad. It's so sad. And this one, my last one I want to talk about.
I got two more then.
Another guy who's kind of about potential, mm-hmm. more, but also a great small output, Jeff Buckley, who.
Oh yeah.
He was getting ready for his second album. It was his third album, I guess. But it was going to be called My Sweetheart the Drunk. Speaking of Amy Winehouse, and he was working on some demos with Tom Verlaine from Television.
Oh, cool.
In New York, and like, this isn't working out for me. Oh, you know where you should go? There's this great studio in Memphis. So he goes to Memphis, falls in love with this place, rents this house. Like, this is where I was meant to be. This is where I'm going to make my great album. Look at this house. It's like, it's right on the river. I'm going for a swim.
And
that was it. So I blame Tom Verlaine is the point. Like, if he would have.
So he just drowned.
He drowned, yeah.
You don't swim in the river by yourself.
Yeah. I think he was wearing jeans too, and it kind of like pulled him down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh geez, let's slip him off.
Yeah, so that was.
You think slip him off, Pat? You think that's
look,
the trick?
If you would wear them like the kids wear them today, they'd slide right down. Be fine.
It's like 20 years later. Like, hey, slip them off.
Hey, you're gonna drown. Slip them off.
And that was 15 years ago today, as we record this.
Oh wow. Enough,
yeah. But they eventually put out an album called Sketches for My Sweetheart the Drunk, and this is a song called Vancouver. See if you like this.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Is that him on guitar?
Yeah, and then it's like some weird electric saw sort of thing going on in there.
I like that.
Very weird. He's another guy, just kind of made up his own song structures, but it's still very like familiar sounding.
What we found out so far from this show, Gary, is that you and I can't even agree on the same dead artists.
It's true, yeah.
We have not had one crossover of dead people.
That's
true. Crazy.
That's crazy.
This guy didn't die. This guy was tragically murdered.
Ooh.
And this guy is John F. Kennedy.
Oh, man.
No, this guy is...
all from the dead Kennedys.
This is John Lennon, and this was the posthumous release that was released about 3 or 4 years after Double Fantasy. This is called Milk and Honey.
Yeah.
Again, I can only endorse half of this album, as half of it is also Yoko Ono material. But I do very much enjoy this song, Nobody Told Me. And it actually has some good John Lennon songs on it. Here we go.
I like when he says, most peculiar, Mama.
Yes, that might, I hope, I think I might have that in this clip.
Okay. Going on, there's always something cooking, and nothing in the pot. They're starting back in China, so finish what you got.
So what I recommend people do,
yes,
is grab, take Double Fantasy and Milk and Honey, and you put it together with something that I like to call Double Honey,
yeah.
And it's just the John Lennon songs, and that deserves to win Grammy for Album of the Year.
Well, I think you should make my album Milky Fantasy.
Milky Fantasy?
Where you take all the Yoko songs.
Well, you know what? Whenever I go to Starbucks yeah. and they say, how do I want my my Joe? I say double cream. I mean, double milk. Boy, edit that out. That is a clunk a rusku, as Pardo would say. But so you don't have any more.
I could play some more, but I just want to say, like, man, how much do we miss his voice in like this crazy world we're living in? Yeah. He would be so funny nowadays. Yep. I just love
of all,
him.
Yeah, of all the people, like, that's the one that I most would love to know what he would have done. You know, like, because like, he was so, like, did so many interesting things in his career.
Yep.
What would he be doing? Doing in 2012, like what would he have done in 1995? You know what I mean? Like what would he what the music wouldn't have sounded like anything he'd done before.
No, he, you know, he would have gotten into sampling. He'd probably be with Skrillex right now or something. Mm-hmm.
He'd be DJing at some rave.
Divorced like, oh, from that shrill broad, hopefully.
Yeah, here comes Lennon.
Shacked up with a Kardashian.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You know what?
So let me ask you, where were you when you heard John Lennon die?
I was watching the Monday Night Football game. I was upstairs and I think I was drawing pictures and kind of listening. And Howard Cosell broke the news. How about you?
My brother and I were both, he was home from college and we were sharing a double bed and he was asleep and I was just about to fall asleep watching whatever, I think the Three Stooges might have been on some New York station and they broke through.
Oh, wow.
What about you?
I was too young to even know what was going on.
I just found out about it.
I'm not aware of what you're speaking of right now. No, I was six or something, so I didn't know who he was. First thing I remember, the big thing like that I remember was like a little, not maybe a year later or so, or 2 years when Reagan got shot. I remember. Because, I was home.
That guy makes it.
That guy makes it through. Yeah,
that guy makes
exactly.
It. John Lennon, done. Yeah.
You know what's a weird fact about Mark David Chapman that I just recently learned and is disturbing in light of recent events of our show? Everybody knows he was carrying his Catcher in the Rye book with him. You know what else he had with him?
What?
8-track tape of Runt. Todd Rundgren.
No.
He worships Todd Rundgren. isn't that creepy?
Todd dodged a bullet.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
wow.
If you would have cut Todd down then, that would have been, we would have missed out on a lot, but.
But honestly.
Yeah. Not as much, yeah. No.
Who among us would choose
exactly.
Todd Rundgren?
I think Todd himself would have jumped on that sword, yeah. But, speaking of like, where were you when you heard, I remember. I was on this next guy. I was I just found one more.
Okay,
I was working at Powell's Books in Portland, the greatest bookstore. Living my extended teenage life, just partying and working at the bookstore and goofing around. But that's when I applied for the to become a mailman.
Yeah.
So the day that I found out that I had gotten the job at the post office and I was about to leave this teen world into the adult world. It was April 8th, 1994, when the day that Kurt Cobain died.
Oh, geez.
So it seemed like it was like a, like a movie or something. Like if it was in a movie, you'd be like, oh, how symbolic is this? But anyway, this is from that MTV Unplugged concert.
Because this came out after he was dead.
Yeah, this version of recorded while he was still alive. I should point that out.
Right.
I would hope so.
Yeah. Right.
All these were. But this is their version of David Bowie, Man Who Sold the World. And
on Rock Solid.
Goes like this.
By the way, they recently popped up the rehearsal from this.
Oh.
Have you seen that? Check out on YouTube.
Oh.
You can see them rehearsing this song.
Oh, neat.
It's really cool.
Well, I'm going to check that out.
And he's fucking around trying to get it right. It's really cool.
Said I was his friend, which came as a surprise. I spoke into his eyes. I thought you died alone, a long, long time ago.
Matt, I gotta check out that rehearsal because
sounds great.
Doesn't it sound cool? It was a good choice. And but my friend Rich pointed it out to me, and it's the only thing I can hear when I hear this song now is that he starts the solo like on the wrong note, And he kind of like, you know, kind of, you know, goes up to, yeah.
That's
to like
right. Start over. That's rock and roll, man.
That's rock and roll, man. So I wonder if he does that in that rehearsal. I guess
they don't get that far, I don't think, into it. I think it's just they're working on the beginning.
Oh, I see. And like, yeah, I'll figure it out. What am I going to do? Yeah. Blow the solo?
I got that part down, guys.
But do you remember where you guys were when you heard that?
I think I was, I'm pretty sure I was on tour, on doing a college tour with John Heffron and Rusty McGarry.
Nice.
We were driving, who knows, we're somewhere in the United States, and we heard it on the radio, and we were like, oh, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But I probably said, you fucking drug addict.
I was in college. I was at Emerson College.
But
was there any candlelight vigils involved? Did you?
Yeah, I wasn't, I wasn't like the biggest Nirvana fan, so I was like more, you know, into hip hop and stuff.
It's like you respect it. But I
wasn't like,
it
didn't like rock my world that he was dead. I was just like, oh, wow. And I was probably all like Pat because I was, you know, straight edge and very militant and like, probably like, meh. Right.
That's what you get. When are you going to learn?
It's sad because, you know, he attempted suicide before that. And I feel like that concert really was kind of like a suicide note in the selections. Yeah. It's creepy to listen to it, although it's a really amazing show. But
long before I was a parent, I still knew that, wow, that's, you have a child and you do that, that's really, really sad.
Yeah.
We can never know.
Francis just, Bean,
the pain.
I know. Well, so I'm gonna close it out
with,
and I'm glad that I said I had an extra song because I'm glad you got to play that.
Oh,
because
good.
that needed to be played.
I think you're right. Thank you.
This was the first rock singer that died that where I was like, man, because this was my This was one of my favorite bands.
Flegal from the Banana Splits?
Yeah, absolutely. So Freddie Mercury.
Died of fleas. Flegal. on a rare case. I'm sorry, Pat.
Trying to talk about Freddie.
Sorry.
So
trying to lighten the mood. This is a very somber show.
I know. But let me say something. Are you afraid to die? I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to die.
Yeah, I agree with you. But, you know, we're young still. Like, I think when you're older and it's closer, that's when you start to get scared.
It's so funny when you say that we're young because so many of these people died. But,
well, you can't account for disease and stuff.
Well, that's true.
You know, not normal, but because a lot of people die of cancer and AIDS and whatever else. But if you can make it.
If you can make
through
it
through the shit,
yeah. Well, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Right. Then it's like, I feel like if you get to your 70s and your 80s, then that's when you start waking up at 5 going, did it happen?
I do like that my parents are in their mid 70s and still healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So too. That's always nice.
And partying.
Know it. Yeah. But Freddie died in 91, age 45. And I just remember hearing it on the radio because he. I know so much about Queen, but he told the band, I'm telling you guys, and we're not telling anyone. We're just going to continue to record and work and do as much music as I can while I'm alive. That's what I want to do. That's what will make me happy. So that's why whenever in the media they'd go, is Freddie sick? They'd go, no, Freddie's fine. Because he told them, that's what I want you to do. I don't want you to tell anyone.
Wow.
And they all admit to that afterwards. They go, that's what we did. So, but in 95, Queen released an album. All three original members cobbled together everything that Freddie had recorded up until his death and released an album called Made in Heaven. And when you hear this song, all the song titles on this album are like really cryptic. But this is called Too Much Love Will Kill You. And to think about just singing these lyrics while you're on your deathbed. He would come in, record for 20 minutes, 45 minutes, and then that would be it for the day. But this is Queen and Freddie Mercury, R.I.P.
Oh, I feel like no one ever told the truth to me about growing up and what a struggle it would be. And my tangled state of mind, I've been looking back to find where I went wrong. Too much love will kill you if you can't make up your mind. Torn between the lover and the love you leave behind. You're headed for disaster because you never. Every
great performance.
I know. He still sounded so good, so strong, and yet not.
I think that's got to help you as an artist like he was of like, you know, this is, you know, I'm doing a little legacy building here.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to leave it all on the studio floor.
Yeah, that might have kept him going for a while longer. Also, I just got in the mail today, the day we're recording, a great book from Amazon.com. It's a book of all the Queen lyrics bound together. It's got pictures I've never seen before, artwork I've never seen before. And it's, I don't know how they can sell this thing. It's like $21.
What?
It's amazing. It's amazing piece of stuff to hold in your hand, those lyrics. Leader. So,
man. Well, this was
a bummer.
A bummer.
Do me if I don't make it for the next record, I want you to cobble together a show.
With, of all the like 30 seconds before we start, we'll just put that
little,
we'll
little,
make a show.
Little that, things that I said, yeah. Frank and bite them together and make it.
I don't like it. I'm kind of superstitious. Yeah,
make a sense.
Knocking on wood.
So,
all right. Well,
I had to be done. We had to honor these people.
I have a play out, which I didn't think of until Pat was talking about Freddie Mercury. This is a guy that I didn't really care about or know anything about, but my friend engineered and produced this album for Warren Zevon called The Wind.
Oh, yeah. And, I didn't even think of Warren.
And it's gut-wrenching to listen to
this. Oh, I know.
Because it's the same thing. He had cancer, and he was recording while he was, you know, losing this battle.
This was like a master class. Like, he did his victory lap. Like,
yeah.
And this album I can almost not listen to because of the circumstances.
I get choked up. This is the – I'm going to play the last track from that song, and it's really – it's emotional. And I didn't know him or anything, but and like I said, wasn't a fan.
Used to work out at the gym, Beverly Hills Health and Fitness on Beverly when I would go there. He'd be in there on the treadmill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, this is Warren Zevon. It's called Keep Me in Your Heart.
Ugh.
On Rock Solid.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Shadows are falling and I'm running out of breath. Keep me in your heart for a while. If I leave you, it doesn't mean I love you any less. Keep me in your heart for a while. When you get up in the morning and you see that crazy sun, keep me in your heart for a while. There's a train leaving nightly called when all is said and done. Keep me in your heart for a while. Shine. For a while.